and I'm a pastor of the Korean Reformed Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. All right, now I want our moderator to give a brief address and translate, interpreted by Dr. Lee. 바쁠 팀 중에 저희들을 인사하도록 허락해 주셔 고맙습니다. It is a great opportunity to greeting to you from Korean Christians. 여러분도 우리와 같이 자랑스럽고 영광스러운 개혁주의 신앙을 가진 줄 믿고 감사합니다. I appreciate and proud of you because of you have a Christian reformed faith like us. 지금은 하나님의 말씀을 혼란시키는 어려운 일들이 많은데 여러분과 우리는 힘을 합해서 우리가 가진 개혁주의 신앙을 전 세계를 향하여 전파하는 데 노력합시다. Let us try to evangelize the whole world with our reformed faith. This age is really chaos and deemed and also mixed world. 하나님의 크신 은총이 여러분의 교회에 넘치기를 원합니다. 감사합니다. We pray and bless you with all our God's loving and enough blessing to you and your churches. Thank you very much.
우리 모임에 대해서 오셔서 대단히 감사합니다.
대단히 감사합니다.
그 moderator, I have a request or two that perhaps need to be taken care of before we enter into the next special order, the Order of Christian Education. If those, that committee could be coming and be prepared. The Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business respectfully requests to be excused at 9:30 to convene in their regular meeting place at room 202 in the College Center. That's the Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business requesting to be excused at 9:30 this evening. Move that excuse be granted, sir.
You've heard this request. Is there any dissent? The motion is carried and they will be excused. Mr. Clerk?
The other announcements have to do with the matters of meetings after the session, so I do not believe we need to have them read at this time. Mr. Moderator, the order is the matter of the Committee on Christian Education. Special order.
Mr. Moderator.
Mr. Chairman.
This is Harry Miller of Evangel Presbytery. Before we begin our report, I'd like to introduce to you, sir, in the court, Mr. Dick Tuning, a ruling elder from the Stony Point Reformed Presbyterian Church of Richmond, Virginia. He's an elder in the Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod, and he is president of the Board of Trustees of Covenant College. And I'd ask that he be given the privilege of the floor to answer any questions the court may have concerning Covenant College. I so move.
Without objection, so ordered.
The moderator, our report is being distributed. And if you will open your handbook to page 705, I think this will be a rather simple matter to put before the assembly. Just ask a question. Is that all right? Mr. Moderator, unless there is a call from the court for me to read part four of the report of the Permanent Committee on Christian Education and Publication, which is the proposal for joint governance of Covenant College, I will not read it in its entirety. But I will bow to the will of the court in this. Mr. Moderator, then, if you will, brethren, if you will turn to part four on page 705A, step two. You will notice that our recommendation number one in the printed sheet handed you provides an amendment to this item in the proposal for sharing governance. I'll read it. When the PCA sends as many students to the college as the RPCES, or the PCA contributes $2,500,000 to the capital and or endowment fund, then the RPCES will elect 21 members and the PCA 9 members to the board. Parentheses, PCA nominates and elects their own trustees. Close parentheses. The $2.5 million is not a binding commitment on the part of the PCA or any committee of the PCA, but will be raised by the Board of Trustees of Covenant College from PCA members or designated gifts on behalf of PCA. I move its adoption.
Let me ask a question here. He read something, and he's got representatives here in step two. Their own representatives or their own trustees?
Trustees is the word we're putting in. We're electing not representatives, but trustees.
You heard the chairman read trustees in the last word of step two, and it should be trustees instead of representatives. The motion is before you to adopt step two, is that correct, Mr. Chairman?
As we are presenting the amendment to it, yes, sir.
What is your pleasure? Number 11.
Mr. Moderator, I have a question, Joe Moorcraft, North Georgia Presbytery. I don't understand our procedure. Why is it that now we're concerned with various steps in a program we have yet to approve?
May I respond, Mr. Moderator?
Yes.
The point is that unless these steps in the program are approved, many on the committee are not in favor of approving the program. In other words, we want to present a program amended to our satisfaction to the General Assembly. And so we're presenting the amended steps prior to presenting the proposal as a whole.
Mr. Moderator, I wonder about the question of whether we should not have at least their new form of recommendations read as a whole to us. The value of that is simply that you don't get caught with something. Say you have passed part of it and then you find something new that you didn't know about in recommendation 10. And it might be better if the Assembly would be willing to have him read the whole so we can understand what we are dealing with as a whole. At least of the new mimeograph material. I think that's required of all the other reports. Printed material, we shouldn't have to have that read to us.
I'll be glad to do so, sir.
Is there any objection to that procedure? Go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
All right, then, reading recommendation number two. Reference is to part 4B9 on page 706, which is to add an item E that the CE
P committee of the PCA be responsible for working out a more satisfactory understanding for the accounting of gifts. Green, reference to Part 4B, 16, page 706. If a trustee should move his church membership to a denomination which is not doctrinally like the PCA and RPCES, he must offer his resignation to the board. And recommendation 4, the reference is to page 709, item number 10, that A, the General Assembly approve the proposed plan of joint governance of Covenant College as amended, as contained in 3, Roman numeral 3, part 4 of the CEP report, and proceed to elect 6 trustees to the board of the college. B, the following reports be considered prior to the third vote as per part B, paragraph 3 of the proposal. 1, a report prepared by the CEP committee regarding conformity to the scriptures and the Westminster standards in the hiring of faculty, and 2, a report be prepared by the Committee on Administration concerning the financial base of the PCA and how this commitment to joint governance has affected our permanent committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now we're back at number 1. It's been moved that it be adopted. Now, does that motion include the second sentence of that paragraph?
The second sentence of the paragraph, I'm not
starting
sure I understand.
Starting with the $2.5 million is not a binding commitment.
Sir, I'm moving the recommendation number 1 on the committee's mimeograph report.
Mr. Moderator, it's perhaps in response to the earlier question of our procedure now. It seems to me that we are in a situation where you have a partial report. You're only dealing with a partial report. You ought to amend this and get it in as good shape as you want, even perhaps if you are opposed to the whole business of the control of the college. Get as good a total program as you can do at this point. You may later vote it down, but that would be the procedure in this section of this partial report.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. Do you have any further to say, Mr.?
No, sir.
Secretary, number 15. Number 15.
I'm Holman Johnson, Daniel Terry. I make a motion that all of these recommendations and the issue be dropped or tabled.
The motion is that this report, this partial report, be tabled. Is there a second to the motion? It cannot be debated. Point of order.
We ran across this in our presbytery, that according to the more full, I realize that our little guidebook here does not say this, but according to the more full Robert's Rules of Order, we found that an item cannot be tabled beyond the meeting of the assembly that it is meeting with. In other words, it is concurrently meeting. You must bring it back up for consideration within the assembly that is meeting. It cannot be tabled to an indefinite period.
What is your point? The information for the moderator?
Yes, sir. Our point of order that we cannot simply table this motion.
The moderator rules that the motion is in order to table. It cannot be be debated. All in favor of tabling this report, this partial report, say aye. Opposed? No.
No.
The motion is lost. The motion to adopt number 1 is before you. Are you ready to vote? All in favor of the adoption of number 1, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The motion is carried.
I move the adoption of recommendation number 2, sir.
What is your pleasure? Are you ready to vote? All in favor of number 2, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion is carried.
I move the adoption of number 3.
What is your pleasure? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The motion is carried.
I move the adoption of number 4.
What is your pleasure? Mic number 11. Or 12.
Yeah. Mr. Moderator, I understand that this is now the vote on the approval of the joint governance that we enter into the plan.
Is that correct, Mr.?
That is correct.
This would be the point at which we should debate the whole question. Mr. Moderator and brothers, I'm firmly convinced that one of our real growing problems as a denomination is that we are putting too many irons in the fire, and we are overextending ourselves financially and also in terms of our energy. I believe that we're taking a shotgun approach rather than a rifle approach, that we're seeking to do too many things, and therefore we are not doing a few things well and building on a firm biblical foundation. We are involved in the 5 and 5 campaign, raising $5 million for the MUF committee for the building of new churches. We have just approved the participation in a conference center. We have approved the goal of mission to the world to send 250 missionaries by 1982, and the suggested budget for that was $5 million. We're going to be voting later on the approval of the PCA messenger on a monthly basis, the hiring of an editor. Our committee budgets are not meeting their quota. Not a single one of our committees has raised 100% of its budget to this point. In fact, I'm not sure in the history of our denomination if any of our committees on paper have ever met their budget. We have faced crises in the MUS committee this year. We have in the Christian Education Committee a few years ago. And whether you are aware of it or not, brethren, we are about to face another crisis in our Christian Education Committee. We are talking in our Christian Education Committee about being able to pay salaries, about being able to pay the rent, about being able to pay the light bills. We're not even sure that we're at this point that we're able to have another Christian Education Committee meeting unless the money is there. We're talking about $5 million over a period of time for participation in the joint governance of Covenant College. We were not actually able even to afford $5,000 for a subcommittee to meet to consider participating in Covenant College. I'm afraid that when we speak in this way, we're often told that we have no vision, that we have no faith, but I'm concerned that faith, biblical faith, is not a leap in the dark. I'm very much aware of the fact that our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, that He will supply all of our needs, but faith is not contrary to sound biblical principles of stewardship, and I believe that it's a sound biblical principle of stewardship that we do not spend money that we do not have. Now, I know that we will be told that this will not take money from other things. I don't think that's very realistic. This money is to come from some over and above sources, from some mysterious sources. It's not going to affect our committee budgets any way, we're told, and I think that that's just not being very realistic at all. You'll notice in the committee report on page 705 the question of hiring practices of the college. About two-thirds of the way down, the paragraph reads, "Our committee is most appreciative of these fine statements and of Covenant's earnest desire to be a Christian college. We must, however, express some reservations as to whether these principles are being consistently carried out in the hiring practices of the college. After discussion with the president and board members, we are aware that not every faculty member has a working knowledge of and commitment to the Westminster Standards. However, progress is being made in this area." I have served this year on the subcommittee dealing with the question of Covenant College. I came with an open mind, willing to be convinced, very convincible. We were received very graciously by the president of Covenant College and the board of trustees, the president of the board of trustees, the former president of the board of trustees. Were given very warm hospitality. But I must say in all candor and frankness that I was not satisfied with the answers that we received when some hard questions were asked about the hiring practices of the college. And I ask you as commissioners tonight, are you ready to vote on this question? Do you fully know what is involved? Have you adequately examined these issues? There are many hidden factors. Last year, the question of federal aid was not even raised by our subcommittee and the Christian Education Committee, and it was not mentioned by those from Covenant College dealing with it. Now, I'm not accusing anybody of a lack of integrity at all. I'm just simply saying that there is such a zeal and enthusiasm about this college, just as many of us have zeal and enthusiasm in many areas that we are vitally concerned with it. Sometimes we neglect to mention those problems and bring up the things that must be considered, and federal aid was one of those. Hiring practices of the college is one thing that came only through the questioning on the subcommittee. Now, we'll also be told that we're only taking the first step, and I say that we must be sure before we take that first step. It would be very easy for us to take that step now and very hard for us later on to withdraw from that step. I'm afraid also in our denomination we've come to a procedure of entering into things and then working out later the details and studying the implications later on. I say we must understand what we are voting on now. Before we take this first step, we must, as commissioners, be sure that we understand what's involved, and therefore I speak in opposition to our entering the plan of joint governance with Government College.
Number 9, are you in favor or opposed to the motion?
I am in favor of the recommendation of the
committee. Very well, sir. Yes, sir.
I have a procedural motion, Mr. Moderator. In accordance with the intent of the rules of the Assembly 8-10, subpoint 4, that the chairman of the Committee of Commissioners read the entire proposal, section 4, found on page 705 of the Commissioner's Handbook.
Mr. Moderator, that has to do with the report of a committee of commissioners. We ordinarily do not require the reading of the material that is printed in the handbook, since that was presumably in the hands of the commissioners prior to the assembly, and they should have read it themselves prior to their coming.
The motion is that section of the report be read. Is there a second to that motion? The motion is lost for want of second. Number 9.
There is a second.
I can't hear something that doesn't make any noise.
Shall I allow you second?
It's been moved and seconded that the section requested be read. Those in favor of having that section read, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The motion is lost. Number 9, who is in favor of the recommendation, has the floor.
Mr. Moderator, David Blythe from Louisiana Presbytery. I heard this morning, and also from Mickey Snyder's remarks, about too many irons being in the fire. But it seems to me that the iron that seems to always come out first is the Christian education
Would
iron.
You allow me to stop? In the deliberative assembly, it's not the best procedure to call men's names.
Oh, I stand corrected. I'm sorry.
I broke his train of thought.
He broke my train of thought.
He didn't call his name before the
problem. Yes. I hope that this General Assembly, as was argued, that we do not have an unbalanced view of the four committees, will show its balanced view in supporting this recommendation to its fullest. Thank you.
Number 13. Number 13.
Paul Doriani, Ascension Presbytery. I would like to speak in opposition to this movement on the grounds that in the report of the committee itself, it seems that they admit that the church does not have an absolute obligation or mandate to support higher education, that this is simply an option. At several points, it seems as if they acknowledge this, that kingdom is larger than church, and therefore we are not obligated to do this. And on the grounds that we have no real obligation or mandate to be involved in this sphere of Christian activity,
We have no obligation, as they themselves admit in the report, to be supporting Christian higher educational institutions. I would say that we should not support this.
Mr. Moderator.
Number 10.
Mr. Moderator, it seems inconsistent to me that we should be so fully in support of Christian grade schools and Christian high schools and then not
carry forward
so that our young people are not dumped into the devil's lap in the secular universities. We heard the same arguments, basically, without mentioning names, from exactly the same people last year. And we looked at this. We are, in spite of what the extended speech was before, we are really doing nothing more except looking at a projected plan. We did this with World Missions this morning. We are looking at a projected plan. Except for the expansion of the committee to 30 members, we are, in fact, doing most of the things that are already asked for in step one, with a number of the PCA men already on the Board of Covenant College. And so what we are doing is no more than we did with World Missions this morning in projecting ahead and looking at the possibilities, Lord willing, that this come to pass.
Number 8, are you for or against the recommendation?
I'm against number 4.
You have the floor.
Bob Austinson, Evangel Presbytery. In recommendation number 1, it says that the money will be raised by the Board of the Trustees of Covenant College from PCA members or designated gifts on behalf of PCA. Whereas no committee particularly is charged with the responsibility of raising the money, it still means that representatives of the college will come to our churches or seek our individual members to raise this money. I want to remind the assembly that we're not quite 5 years old. And yet in many areas we're trying to act like we have 1 million members and we've been in existence for 50 years. And we can talk about faith, but all you need to do is to look at the statistical reports of last year. And whereas we had $26 million in total gifts and offerings, yet we gave a little over $2 million to Assembly's causes. In the study I made of the 10 churches in the PCA that had 1,000 or more members, we had a total giving of some $6 million, but only gave 700 and some thousand to Assembly's causes. Gentlemen, we can talk big. But if we don't back it up, why do we keep proliferating until we meet our responsibilities that we already have?
Number 14.
Mr. Moderator.
Are you for or against the motion?
I'm for the motion. Lou Bosco from Tennessee Valley Presbytery.
Wait just a minute. That's right. Very well. 14. Go ahead.
Lou Bosco, Tennessee Valley Presbytery. I also am a faculty member of Covenant College. You might say I have a vested interest in this question. What I am concerned about, although I appreciate the arguments raised by some of the commissioners about the difficulties that we face financially, yet I am concerned that without a deep, consistent, and strong involvement in Christian education, the Presbyterian Church of America is going to preach a gospel that is going to remain much too narrow. I believe that in Scripture, when God gave man a mandate and he told him to walk in his ways, God was commanding us to embrace a world and life vision. And in the history of the church, there were way too many occasions when the church narrowed its vision. It did not give its people a worldview, and its people turn to other philosophies that met their needs better. I don't think we have the luxury to refuse to take on this kind of obligation. We may debate whether Covenant College is the thing to throw our lot in with, but I'm concerned about the quality of the gospel we preach, the nature of our work, and in spite of all the difficulties, I don't think we have the luxury to refuse our involvement in this cause. I want to pass on to my children
a full-orbed gospel, there may be some difficulties at Covenant College that the commissions are concerned about. There are difficulties at any school of higher education. Covenant is young. It does not have a great deal of ruts or traditions that to overcome. It is susceptible to shaping and to forming. It has a doctrinal basis that is identical with our own. It has a statement of purpose that our Committee on Christian Education has recommended, and I plead with the commissioners to pick up this challenge and to pick up this opportunity and carry on our work. Thank you.
Number six.
Mr. Moderator, I'm Lauren Watson from Calvary Presbytery. I speak against the motion. The thing that frightens me somewhat, quite a bit, is the potential involvement with the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. The fact that the federal government's attitude toward private institutions, toward which it has given some form of financial benefit, even in the form of loan, has become more and more that of control and paternalism. And the fact that we do not know what we might be getting into in this regard says to me that it is the better part of wisdom that we either know before we move or we not move at all. I might say, Mr. Moderator, that I have a special feeling for Covenant College. I lived on Lookout Mountain, 2 miles from that institution when it was a hotel. And I served as a bellhop one summer, and now where sin did abound, grace doth much more abound. However, that does not mean that we should become involved in a way from which we could not easily extricate ourselves and find ourselves unhappily walking hand in hand with a federal agency which really was controlling matters beyond our desires. And therefore, I hope we will vote this down. Mr. Moderator?
Number 10.
Could we simply now at this point ask one of the experts who were given permission to the floor to answer the question concerning federal funding, federal receipts of federal money, and that implication for the college. If the chairman could call one of his panel at this point, could we do that?
Mr. Chuny?
Mr. Moderator, with your permission, sir, I'd like to expand my comment slightly, so maybe I'll only have to rise once. Is that permissible, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Moderator, fathers and brethren, I deeply appreciate the spirit with which you have been considering our proposal to you. And it was just that. You did not come to us with this, but we, in fact, approached you. And I would like to explain that because this is a very unusual kind of a proposal. We are a denomination that has some fathers who came out of a real struggle a number of years ago, but most of the brethren are just like you. I was an elder in the PCUS church in the Hanover Presbytery, the hotbed of liberalism in Richmond, Virginia, and left a couple of years before you all made your particular move because it was impossible there. It is our fathers who said that we would like to make this offer to you because of their own struggles. And I would like to address four issues that have come to me from you in my time here. Our denomination does not, through any budgetary process, support the college, and we are not asking you through any budgetary process to support the college. We function on the basis of a faith ministry in the belief that if we do not in fact function properly, the Lord Jesus Christ should dry us up and prune us off and burn us. And therefore, we are not coming to you in a budgetary process. I have been confronted over and over on the price tag of $5 million, and I would like to say with no tongue in cheek and no facetiousness and with no goading
We are already walking in your midst, receiving money, and we're talking about crediting such money to your account. We are going to continue to, brethren, because the Spirit moves in those people who would support it. And the Lord Jesus Christ has not hedged us in. And I say this in this spirit, and I want you to hear this, because Covenant College is not a college of the RPCES per se. Only one-third of the students are students of the RPCES. One-third of the students are other Presbyterian students, a number from your own churches and from those whom you have broken away from, and other such Presbyterian groups, because there are still those there who walk as in Sardis and desire the best for their children. And the other one-third come from a great multitude of other Reformed and non-Reformed backgrounds. I guess the federal funds issue that was just raised is indeed one that is probably most difficult to address, because the federal funds issue, my friends, is not really the issue. Now, I am a conservative economist. I won't tell you how conservative. It might scare you on the other side, but let me say I drive a Chevrolet with 247,000 miles on it. The issue of federal funds is a very inflammatory issue. You may charge us with an error. It may or may not be an error. But let me say this to you. We are subject, as are all other institutions, by a number of federal audits. And we had one this year by the Internal Revenue Service. And every church is also subject to such an audit for your own accounting, because you carry a tax exemption. And our Congress, my friends, can attack any rioter and make any statement on equal rights, and therefore women may have access to men's dorms and men to women's dorms at any such time as they choose. The best legal advice we can get nationally and locally tells us that there is no such issue as federal funds. They can get us for using the U.S. Postal Service, and our energy comes through TVA. For all of the ruling elders on the floor, think back over the last 30 years, and I happen to be an academician in a business school, and place the Interstate Commerce Commission. And they added to it and added to it and added to it and added to it, and everybody is under Interstate Commerce Commission now if you have about five or more employees, because what product can you buy that at some place didn't touch it? I would ask a prayer for Covenant College, and that is, my friends, that we have the courage of the testimony to give up $5 million, $10 million, or $50 million if it should come, and hold to our witness and not sell it. That is what we need your prayers for, and not anything concerning federal funds per se at all. The colleges that are most in the news, Brigham Young, a mammoth college, not Christian but Mormon, has been foremost by the simple reason that a veteran has been there who received benefits. Our trustees have taken a resolution this past February in which we have stated on our minutes that we think it is ill-advisable to accept any more federal funds of a capital nature. Now, let me explain this to you. We were told, and you may criticize me, and I stand responsible for that criticism, why did you not go to court and fight what the government asked you to do? We went to our knees, and it was removed from us, the specific requirement of a plaque and so forth, and that's still a mystery to us. We could have gone to the courts, and we were told we could win, and every time you do, the government carries you to the highest court, and it's $50,000. And what happened to us? We explained. Dr. Barnes, our president, was very meticulous both before our denomination and before the federal government to explain that every faculty member integrates the scripture with his material. Does that offend you? And we were told no, that is completely in keeping with the law.
We were meticulous to talk about prayer, and we were told that is perfectly all right. There's nothing wrong with that. And then a judge in the central north portion of our country made a ruling, and it's through a judicial ruling, which in effect is a grandfather clause. We can fight that. We think there are better battles to fight with the $50,000 at this point in time. And if it had required us to tamper at all with our witness, my friends, we would have fought. You may form your own college, you may not form a college, but my friends, do not get confused with the issue of federal funds. It is never going to be a simple matter with the federal government in the direction of the humanistic movement. We are audited because of our pension program for our executives of the college. Everything makes us subject to such audit. Because of the ERISA, they walk into us anytime they want. Federal funds, no federal funds. And they can require us to stand for a witness or shut down. And that's in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faculty hiring. One simple explanation and I'll sit down, and I do appreciate your time. When a young faculty member of 25 to 30 years of age comes to our college, he has spent his time in a PhD program and not in a seminary. They are people, and not a single man has ever come upon the faculty who does not believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, not only in matters of saving faith, but in all areas that Scripture speaks, including matters of history and science, and they will not be hard apart from that. And yes, there are some who come who have not been fully trained, and they do sign, and every one of them has signed a statement of commitment, and they list those deviations in their understanding of the Westminster Confession of Faith, and we work with them, and then if they are not in line within 3 years, they are no longer retained. I don't know how you can get a bunch of seminary-trained people who are also trained with their PhD in physics, chemistry, history, sociology, psychology, or something else, unless you want to bring them in as an old man such as myself, and then you pay dearly for the price. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. Cuny. Number 14. Moderator, I wish to speak in favor of the recommendation. Wait just a minute. Number 15.
Speak against the recommendation.
Very well, sir.
Mr. Moderator, I would move a substitute for the recommendation.
Very well.
That the Sixth General Assembly of the PCA, one, express appreciation for the offer of the RPCES concerning our involvement in the governance of Covenant College. To affirm our enthusiastic commitment to the responsibility of Christian parents individually and corporately to provide a thoroughgoing Christian education for its covenant children. 3, reaffirm our determination to maintain the distinctive role of the institutional church to proclaim the gospel throughout the world and to exposit the scriptures to the church. 4, instruct the Christian Education and Publications Committee to devise concrete means by which individuals and groups of PCA members may promote the enthusiastic support of Covenant College and other reformed higher educational institutions. I so move.
Is there a second to that motion? Dr. Robinson, do you wish to speak?
Mr. Moderator, the issue before us is not to be for or against Christian education. The issue before us is how to go about our Christian education, our higher Christian education. We have two options. One of them is for us as a church to enter into and to undertake the total program of the Christian education of our young people. Christian education here being thought of in the broader sense of including a Christian view of calculus and other such detailed matters. The other way is to form and to organize as parents and as supporters of Christian educational institutions, and by this means to promote a thoroughgoing education for for our children. It would seem that if we as an institution, the Church of Jesus Christ, that has been given a special responsibility of promoting and preaching the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth, that if we will concentrate on that particular task, then we will reproduce the number of Christians who will be very much concerned about the total education of their children, and thus will provide an adequate base for stronger growth of Christian education in general. Now, we have not done much in terms of thinking how we can move our people to perform this task. And it would seem very legitimate for the Christian Education Committee to take this alternate route of studying ways to motivate parents and others within the PCA to begin to support Christian education for their children. We do have the money. We do have the resources. We can accomplish this thing, but we don't necessarily have to do it by the offerings that are given in the institutional church. Parents may support this thing if they are guided and directed in this endeavor. Thank you.
Gentlemen, the order of the day has arrived. If you wish to continue in session, action will have to be taken to that end. The order of the day has arrived. Number 9.
I move that we continue debate.
Sir?
I would move that we continue debate. Mr. Moderator, that's not the question before us. It's whether we should recess at this hour. This is the time for recess.
I move that we not recess and continue debate.
You ought to have a time terminus ad quem. When are you going to stop?
10 p.m.
10:30?
10 p.m.
The motion is that we continue in session until 10 o'clock. That will take two-thirds vote because it's amendment of the action that was taken. Those in favor of extending the time for half hour say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The motion is, it takes two-thirds. Shall we put the vote division or will you take the moderator's estimate? There was someone seeking the floor at 10, at 14.
Mr. Moderator, the time for the debate on this has run out, and you should place the question, do you wish to extend it by 10 more minutes?
Do you wish to extend the time of the debate by 10 minutes? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The motion is carried. Number 14 has the floor. Number 5.
Mr. Moderator, Don Clement, Central Georgia Presbytery, Chairman of the Permanent Committee on Christian Education. I move to postpone the partial report of the Committee of Commissioners on this issue until after hearing and acting on the report of the Committee of Commissioners on the philosophy of Christian education. If I receive a second, I would like to speak to it.
It's moved and seconded that the debate be postponed. Very good, sir.
Fathers and brethren, Dr. Robertson has raised an issue that should be discussed and debated before us now that he has spoken so magnificently on his side of the position. There is another side, and I want you to hear that. I want you to read the committee's report in your handbook, The Philosophy of Higher Education. These are theological principles. Who should be doing Christian education in higher education? And I would urge you to postpone this motion before you to move into this step one now until we've settled that philosophical issue. We know where the PCA stands on that. It's a historic debate. It will be healthy for us to enter into it and come to our decision. And then we will be ready to decide on the practical grounds of money and other things going into step one. I urge this postponement at this time.
The motion is that consideration of number 4 together with the substitute motion be postponed until the Committee on Christian Education be heard. I shall give the chairman a chance to speak to that if he desires.
Mr. Moderator, I have no objection to this procedure. I would inform the court that our committee is not at this time prepared to report on that section. Are you ready to vote? Those in favor of number 14.
Mr. Chairman, I would simply speak against postponement. It would seem that the handbook has been in our hands. We have had opportunity to read this and consider it for a year now, and I think it would be much more appropriate to proceed with discussion of the issue that is before us.
Are you ready to vote? Shall the consideration of this partial report be postponed? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The motion seems to be carried. It is carried. Division has been called for. Those in favor of postponing consideration of this partial report will raise your hand.
Mr. Moderator, while they are taking the count, let me read the announcement that we have. Men speaking, this is a sort of mysterious announcement. I don't know exactly what it means, but it comes from Don Graham, and so those of you who would know what he's talking about, listen. Men speaking for church building needs are asked to arrive 5 minutes early in the morning. The Presbyterian Church in America is indebted to Richard T. Vaught of Marietta, Georgia, for the preparation and gift of the large and clear microphone numbers in use for the first time at this meeting of the General Assembly. We might want to let the Thanks Committee know about that. You ready to take the other half of the vote?
As soon as he says, as soon as he's got the vote.
The Permanent Committee on Missions of the U.S. will meet in the Science Building at 9:30. It'll now be 10 o'clock or immediately following adjournment. Permanent Committee on Missions of the U.S. The Bills and Overtures Committee will meet immediately following adjournment Tuesday evening at the rear of the gymnasium. Mr. Henry Decker is asked to meet with this committee. Yes, the Bills and Overtures. Ready for the auditorium.
Those who are opposed to postponing consideration of this partial report, raise your hand. Mr. Five. Could I just say a word on a matter of privilege? I'd like you to know that Dick Tooney, who just spoke to us, the president of the Board of Trustees, broke all records at the University of Washington for getting a Ph.D., and is quite an authority on the attributes of God by Turner. He's a wonderful fellow, and I hope you get to know him. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the judicial commission. Yeah, I have that right now. Mr. Moderator, I have a request for excuse at 8 o'clock in the morning from the judicial commission. Mr. Moderator, I move that we grant that permission, that the Judicial Commission be excused to meet at 8 o'clock. Mr. Williamson, you have a place for them to meet in the same place where you met earlier today, Judicial Commission. That's the Judicial Commission. Yes.
Is there any dissent from granting this request? The Judicial Commission is excused at
8 o'clock
at
tomorrow
8 o'clock
morning.
Tomorrow morning. You have another announcement? Oh, you have
got several now, but you want to get the mic. Which one is which, Mr. Moderator, it looks as though first the vote affirmative was 202, the vote against was 210.
The motion to postpone is lost. The floor is open for consideration of the substitute motion.
I don't know.
Mr. Clark, do you have that substitute motion?
Standing here.
Mr. Clerk, will you read the substitute motion for number 4?
That the 6th General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America, 1. Express appreciation for the offer of the Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod concerning our involvement in the governance of Covenant College. 2. Affirm our enthusiastic commitment to the responsibility of Christian parents individually and corporately to provide a thoroughgoing Christian education for its covenant children. 3. Affirm our determination to maintain the distinctive role of the institutional church to proclaim the gospel throughout the world and to exposit the scriptures to the church. 4. Instruct the Christian Education and Publications Committee to devise concrete means by which individuals and groups of Presbyterian Church in America members may promote enthusiastically the support of Covenant College and other Reformed higher educational institutions.
What is your pleasure? Number 15.
Yes, Mr. Moderator, Gordon Reed from Calvary Presbytery. I wish to speak against the motion to substitute. I agree with the thought that was expressed that we have joined not only an important issue, but in my mind, the most important issue that will come before this General Assembly. And I speak against this motion basically because I think it represents a position on Christian education that is inconsistent with Reformed faith. I realize there has been a historic debate in the years following Calvin, but I believe that this point of view bears within it the seeds of destruction of the church and of the Reformed movement. I think that well-turned words cannot replace well-aimed action. We have driven many people from our Reformed churches into parachurch organizations by this philosophy, and thereby have lost the vital and essential control of church courts over the educational process. And then we turn around and criticize people for being in parachurch organizations to which we have driven them. I think it is part of the Great Commission responsibility of the church to educate her young. And I hope that you'll vote down this motion to substitute and that we'll return to debate the issue that is before us in the support of Covenant College. Number 6. I wish to speak against the substitute.
Very well, sir.
George Brengel, Gulf Coast
Presbytery. Just a minute. You against the substitute.
That's right.
Number 12.
To speak for the substitute.
Well, hold it up, number 6. Go ahead, number 12.
Larry DeBert, Tennessee Valley Presbytery. I'd like you to turn to page 704 to the paragraph just prior to section part 2. It's part of the philosophy. It states in there, starting with the third sentence, the president of the college is chosen by the board, not by the assembly of RPCES. The board is the final authority, and that the church has no veto power. Now, I would like to cite several recent instances where church-supported schools have drawn down proposed mergers with other reform bodies. One of the reform Presbyterian bodies that is not represented here in NIPAC has ran into trouble with its own college, and that its college does not reflect the teaching of the presbytery, of the Presbyterian church. And I also cite that this has occurred also in other proposed mergers with other schools, with other, pardon, other denominations. Now, if we start supporting a denominationally supported college, and we have no veto power over what that college teaches, we may find ourselves in a bucket of worms. And I support Dr. Robinson's the amendment that the parents of the church be allowed
be encouraged to send their children to the best Christian school, no matter whether it's by the denomination or whatever it is, but to send it to the best Reformed school. And I feel no need for the denomination to support a school. Thank you. Number six, George Brengel, Gulf Coast Presbytery. I speak against the substitute motion in support of the statement we heard from others from South Florida, namely that we do have a cultural mandate that has not been repealed to exercise dominion, that namely we read in Ephesians 4 that Christ gave to the church, and he lifts the gift, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It would be impossible for the perfecting of the saints without a biblical world-like view, which cannot come from secular education. I would plead with the Assembly to vote down the substitute and return to debate on the original recommendation from the Committee of Commissioners. Mike, number 10, are you for or against the substitute?
I'm against the substitute.
Number 9, are you for or against the substitute?
Against the substitute.
Number 13, Paul Duriani, Ascension Presbytery. I'd like to speak in favor of the substitution. I would like to point out to the commissioners here that the issue which has been raised in the substitution is an extremely vital one which affects the lives of all of the members of our churches, that it is the task of the church to train its members in the scriptures, and that furthermore, proper training of the families in the scriptures places upon them the responsibility to educate their children in a godly way. And I believe that if we place ourselves in a position of this type of Christian education, which is being proposed in the original recommendation, that we will be short-circuiting the responsibility of Christian parents to apply what they have learned from their pastors and elders and to learn how in a godly way to train their children. I feel that this will damage the life of the church. The life of the church will be extremely damaged if we do not support the substitution.
Number 10. Mr. Moderator, Paul Zetter, Home Ruling Elder from Central Florida Presbytery. I'm concerned that we're missing the real issue of the substitute motion, and I'm concerned that the substitute motion misses the real issue of the main motion, which it seems to substitute. The PCA as a denomination is not going to enter in to control of the college. I think it's unfortunate, perhaps, that on page 705 in step 2, that the wording reads, when the PCA contributes $2,500,000. It is not the PCA as a denomination which is going to send this money to Covenant College. Dr. Tuning has already spoken that they are currently soliciting actively support from families in the PCA for the college, and he has said that that's going to continue, whether or not we approve this recommendation. I think that the brother who read from the paragraph on page 704 did not go far enough. I would like to continue reading from that paragraph just before part 2, Christian Education, beginning with the phrase, "This gives the church the opportunity to express its biblical interest in Christian higher education without sacrificing its primary task of proclaiming the whole counsel of God. It gives families an opportunity for providing a biblical education to their children, which in turn builds up the church, extends the kingdom, and glorifies our triune God. I am in great sympathy with the sense of the substitute motion that we be concerned for parental control of the education of our children. My point is that I think that's exactly what the motion calls for. That's what this recommendation is saying, that the families will be the ones, that the only denominational control will be in the election of members to the Board of Trustees. The denomination will not give money. The denomination will not have it in its budget. The denomination will not have veto power. And in effect, we are getting the best of both worlds. We are controlling the Christian education of our children through the family, and yet we have some say-so through the Board of Trustees to ensure that its doctrine goes the right way.
Inasmuch the time has come, shall the debate be continued until recess? All in favor of continuing the debate, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
We will have to come to a vote. I shall give the chairman of the committee the opportunity to close the debate.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. I would say just one word. Dr. Robertson and his substitute has raised a conceptual issue. I'm not certain that all of us are aware of it. And it is an issue which is at variance with the present practice of the TCA in theological education and in elementary and secondary education. Speaking of presbytery in the theological realm and of congregation in the elementary and secondary realm. And for that reason, I hope that you will vote for consistency by voting against the substitute.
I shall put the question, those in favor of substituting Dr. Robertson's motion for the number 4, will you say aye? Those opposed?
No.
No. The motion is lost. We are now at the number 4, but may I suggest this, just a minute. The bylaw says we have 9 minutes until recess. Does the assembly want to continue debate on the main motion, which is now item number 4? Those in favor of continuing the debate, say aye. Opposed, no.
No.
Mr. Chairman, do you want any further word on that?
I think it has all been said, Mr. Moderator.
I shall put the vote. Those in favor of adopting number 4 of the partial report of the committee, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The motion is carried. Division is called for. Those in favor of adopting the report, will you raise your right hand?
Mr. Moderator, as we take the count, let me again continue with the announcement. The University of the Christian Fellowship will present the Effective Ambassador, a 12-minute media presentation on evangelism, at 1 p.m. daily in the Commons Board Room above the cafeteria. Permanent Committee on Christian Education plus the staff members of the committee are called to meet immediately following adjournment tonight in room 103 Science Building. Permanent Committee on Christian Education plus staff members. 103 Science Building. Mm-hmm. Permanent Committee on Administration will meet in the study room in the basement of Nordevere Hall. Permanent Committee on Administration meet in the study room in the basement of Nordevere Hall immediately after adjournment tonight. That committee has been called several times. We've not been able to get a quorum. We need to have that meeting.
May I suggest that while the security clerk is making announcements, a little courtesy could be offered him. Would you please stop talking?
You ready for the other part of the vote?
Mr. Smith, you ready for the negative vote? Those opposed to the adoption of that motion.
Let me continue the announcement. The Christian Education Publications Commission
commissioners meet in 139 Science Building after adjournment. It is respectfully requested that the Committee of Commissioners on Judicial Business be excused at 9:30. I think we've already taken that. Committee of Commissioners on Administration. The last one was Permanent Committee on Administration. This is Committee of Commissioners on Administration. We'll meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in the basement of the library. They'll need to be excused. Ms. Moderator, move the granting of that excuse. You've heard this request. Shall it be granted? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The request is granted. The Presbytery of the Ascension is asked to meet 15 minutes following adjournment of this evening's session in the recreation room of Nordavale Hall. There may be conflict with Committee on Administration. They can straighten it out after they get there. The Presbytery of Ascension, 15 minutes after adjournment in Nordavale Hall recreation. Frank Barker is asked to meet Charles Donahue at the platform. And again, a reminder of the NPRF breakfast tomorrow morning, 6:30 in the Commons Dining Room with John Perkins of Mississippi speaking on Let Justice Roll Down. All of you are invited. Just get your, come no extra charge to the delegate. The motion was carried 259 to 145. Mr. Edwin Elliott has a point of personal privilege. Mr. Moderator, I would like to introduce this motion in order that it might be in before the closing of time tonight. That's why I've been working. Therefore, I move as a personal resolution. Whereas the Presbyterian Church in America represents in its contingency the major themes of historic Presbyterianism, and whereas the history of union discussions in the past century has been bitter, protracted, and generally fruitless. And whereas the Presbyterian Church in America has sought from its inception to unite in America all genuinely evangelical and reformed Presbyterians into one national communion, be it resolved that, one, all groups, congregations, presbyteries, synods, and assemblies of like faith be invited to join the Presbyterian Church in America by adopting its standards and applying to the local presbytery or the General Assembly for recognition. Two, all groups interested in formal mergers be requested to first give consideration in their court to eliminating the lengthy formal process by simply transferring directly to the PCA as it is now constituted. May I say a word in favor of this? I joined the Presbyterian Church.
You just a minute, Mr. Elliott.
What?
Just a minute, please, sir. This motion has been presented. Shall it be received? What is your pleasure?
It was moved.
I didn't hear it. I'm sorry. Well, it's been moved. Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded that this resolution be received. What is your pleasure? I shall. Are you ready to vote? All in favor, say aye. Opposed, no.
No.
The motion is lost. I'm sorry. Elliot. Send me to have a division.
Mr. Moderator.
Division has been called for. Those in favor of receiving this resolution, may I suggest it's not adopting it, it's just whether it's to be received for consideration by the Assembly. Those who are in favor of receiving the resolution, will you please raise your right hand? And while the tellers are taking it, Mr. Robert Vincent has a point of personal privilege. If you don't object to...
Sure, I know.
Is Mr. Vincent ready to take his
12.
Number 12?
Mr. Moderator,
will you listen to this point of personal privilege?
This pertains to the abortion debate, and I was late in getting this written. I would like to have my dissent recorded against the adoption of the report of the ad interim committee on abortion because it condemns all abortions for any reason at any time. It thus labels as sin any effort to save a mother's life by abortion. I cannot imagine that a member of this assembly, were he put in that most difficult of situations, would vote to allow his own wife to die. Respectfully submitted. Will you hold that point just a minute? Those opposed to receiving Mr. Elliott's resolution, will you raise your hand? The chair rules that the motion is law. Now, shall Mr. Vincent's dissent be admitted to record? Six. Six.
Boyce Spooner, Western Carolina. Point of order, I think the time of adjournment has come.
The time for adjournment will be called by the chair, Mr. Spooner. Thank you, sir. Mr. Vincent, has it been called? Will Mr. Vincent's dissent be admitted to record? Well, is there a motion to that effect? It's been moved and seconded that Mr. Vincent's dissent be admitted to record. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Shall the dissent be answered? Apparently, there's no interest in dissenting. The time has come for the order of the day. Sir?
Mr. Moderator, I see a commissioner asking for the floor. This is the last time that new business may be introduced. And so you may want to extend that order just that long to allow them to introduce that.
Will you allow this item of new business? Very well, sir. Number 14.
This is a committee resolution from the Committee of Commissioners on Administration. The Committee of Commissioners on Administration presents the following resolution to the Sixth General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America. Whereas, in accomplishing its work, the committee detected tensions and what appears to be competition between some of the permanent committees of the Assembly concerning promotion of programs, solicitation of funds, and levels of budget. Whereas it is noted that in the current year some committees are being funded better than others, and whereas the committee feels that the work of the church is one work and that the assembly structure is by design for the purpose of preventing centralization of power, your committee recognizes that unless all areas of the work of the church move ahead in harmony, the work and witness of the church will become out of balance and thereby be injured. For example, growth in world missions depends upon growth in new and existing churches from which missionary candidates and their support are drawn, and these local churches require Christian training materials and information for growth through winning new and discipling present members in Christ. And whereas 1 Corinthians 12 reminds us that though our tasks may differ, we are one, and that each differing task or function is an essential part of this branch of our Lord's body, and whereas this committee speaks out of this background and prayerful concern for the future of our church and our commitment to see her a mighty soul-winning instrument, we do therefore recommend to the Sixth General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America the following action. Action. Direct the four permanent committees and their subcommittees not to lose the vision of the overall work of the church so necessary to her welfare, to direct the staff to maintain such vision even when pursuing the objectives of their particular areas of responsibility, and to so conduct their promotional and fundraising efforts as well as the development of their budget in a manner that will also promote and consider the needs and responsibilities of the other committees as charged to them by the Assembly, to the end that we will move forward in unity and harmony under our Lord's banner to be used mightily in His work. This is submitted by the Committee of Commissioners on Administration.
Mr. Moderator, this is a technical point. That committee is bringing in a new item that was not given to them. The only way they can bring it in is present it as a resolution. If we decide to receive it, you receive it, and then it will be referred right back to that committee, and they'll bring it as part of their report.
Shall this resolution be received? It's been moved. Is there a second? Those in favor of receiving this resolution, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The motion is, the resolution is received and will be referred to
Committee of Commissioners on Administration.
Committee of Commissioners on Administration. The time has come for our recess.
One more resolution. Fred Fowler from Tennessee Valley Presbytery. For new business, be it resolved that the General Assembly appoint an ad interim committee for the purpose of studying the subject of theonomy and to report back to the 7th General Assembly.
Shall this resolution be received?
Mr. Moderator, let me suggest if it is received, I think we'll place it in the hands of the Bills and Overtures Committee.
Shall it be received?
Be it resolved that the General Assembly appoint an ad interim committee for the purpose of studying the subject of theonomy and to report back to the 7th General Assembly.
Gentlemen, if you excuse my Greek, theonomy is the law of God. Shall this report be received? It's been moved and seconded that it be received. The study clerk said it will be referred to the Committee on Bills and Overtures. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The motion is carried. Mr. Laurie Jones, Minister of the Covenant Presbyterian Church at Houston, would you come and lead us in our closing prayer?
I have one more announcement. Due to rain, Don Graham asked that the Mission of the U.S. Committee meet in the lounge off to the side of the.
Will you stand as we pray?
Let us bow together, please. Father, for the glory of your church, we give you thanks. For the glory of him who is the head and king of the church, even the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we thank you and praise you. And Father, we pray that you would bless that which we have done this day in Christ's name, that it would be to your honor and to your glory, that it would be to the extension of the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask our Father that you would grant to each a restful, a refreshing night of rest, that we might come and do your business in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.